Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Cindy Workman. Good morning to you, Cindy.
Good morning.
We're going to talk about goats and probably some other kinds of things. But Cindy, let's first find out a little bit about your background. You know, where did you grow up? Have you always been a farmer? Tell us a little bit about you.
I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. I was a city girl. And then about 3 years ago, I decided I wanted to have, I was raising chickens in Omaha, and you couldn't have roosters, so I decided to look for a farm. So once we got the farm, I added chickens and goats and horses and geese.
You just went a little crazy now that you can have all kinds of animals.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to get more critters.
So how many chickens do you have?
I have about 150 right now.
Oh, my goodness. And are they layers?
They're all layers, different varieties, Rhode Island Red, Americanas, Wyandottes. What's my favorite? Morans. They lay the chocolate colored eggs.
Oh, okay. And you do probably have roosters that wake you up in the morning.
Yes, we have. Not just morning. They crow all day long.
And I'm guessing you don't mind that because
no.
You love chickens.
I love listening to them make the noise. Yes,
uh-huh.
I do.
Good, good. Well, why did you, you got into this with chickens. When you were growing up, did you ever have any of those animals? Because
no.
You were in the city? No.
No, but I was a city girl. My mom and dad both came from farms. So I was around it here and there.
Uh-huh.
And at 55, I decided I wanted my own farm.
Kind of go back to the beginning, or so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, you mentioned you have horses, you have some other things, but I want to talk particularly about goats.
Okay. And
so how many goats do you have?
Right now I have 40 goats. Half of them are babies, because you can't have milk if you don't have babies.
Okay.
So I have Nubians, Lamachas, a couple of boar goats, which are the meat goats, and a couple of Alpines.
Okay. What are some of the challenges of raising goats?
Well, first of all, I knew nothing when I started. And I didn't know anybody that had goats. So I did a lot of searching on the internet. I watched YouTube to figure out how to milk. So it was challenging just figuring out the simplest things in the beginning. And once I started, digging in and going for it, I learned to cut hooves and deliver babies and what feeds are best for them.
And so this was kind of learning by experience. You gathered information,
right.
But then learning by experience.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think one of the hardest things about the goats is just keeping them clean. Because every time you get a new critter, you get more stuff you have to clean up.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Now, interesting that you have half babies. Now, will you try to keep your herd at about 40 so you'll have to get rid of some?
The babies I sell in the fall. And that helps pay for the hay and the feed for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now they just eat the pasture grass, and then I give them some grains, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'll pick out a couple of the new baby girls, the does, to add to my group, but I'll probably keep my females under 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I always have to move on to the next group. And one of the things you talked about, you had to learn to milk the goats, and you got to have those babies to have the milk.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about your use of the milk.
Okay, well, first of all, I was afraid to drink it because everybody said it didn't taste, like regular milk. So I milked for about a month, and then one day I thought, I'm going to taste it. I thought it was awesome. It tastes just as good, if not better, than cow milk. And then I went and made ice cream at first, and then we moved into making cheeses and yogurt, and then, of course, soap. I
mm-hmm.
make soap.
Mm-hmm.
All my soaps have goat milk in them.
Okay. Are you still making the cheese and the yogurt?
I do. I make them. I'm not so good at the cheeses yet, but I don't have as much time to play with it because
mm-hmm.
I'm busy doing the soaps and the
mm-hmm.
goats.
And I know if you want to sell goat cheese, that's not a simple thing to do because there's all kinds of licenses and all that sort of thing.
Right, in Iowa, you can't do that right now unless you're a dairy, certified dairy.
Yeah, so that's kind of a challenge. So you just have to do it to, as you say, play around with it, experience it, and enjoy it yourself. And if I know you, you'll probably give some of it away. So
I've let everybody likes to taste it, and that's how the soaps got started. Uh-huh. I intended to make them just for my husband I, and then I had some family and friends that tried it out for me, and then they told their friends who told their friends, and I post everything on Facebook for everyone to share, so that's how I got started.
Okay. So what's the process of making goat milk soap?
There's about three different ways. The first way I learned is called hot process, where mix out your oils and your liquids. I use my liquid is goat milk, and then your lye. I use a lye calculator that I found online that calculates the exact measurements. It's kind of like science, but once you get going making it, it's like whipping up a cake mix.
Mm-hmm. You get to know how that's supposed to go together.
Mm-hmm. And then I put the hot process in a crock pot, and it has to cook for several hours. And then I color it and scent it and stuff like that, and then I put it into the molds. Now, that soap is ready in a few days. Cold process, you basically do the same thing but just in a big bowl, and then you pour it in the mold. It doesn't get as hot, so the lye needs a little time to cure.
So how many bars can you make from, let's say, a gallon of goat milk? Or, you know, what's the result of how you put all this together? Because I know I've seen your goat soap. We're going to talk a little more about where that is. But you have lots of different kinds, and you have lots of it. So I'm thinking this has to take a lot of your time, Cindy.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. In the beginning, it was a little slower. And like anything, once you get used to doing it over and over, you can whip it up faster.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes about 20. I make about 6 pounds at a time.
Okay.
And it takes about 24 ounces of milk for that.
Okay. So that gives us some idea.
Mm-hmm.
And how much does one goat give in terms of the amount of milk?
Well, each goat's different each season.
Sure.
The beginning goats may only give you a couple of cups to a half gallon to a gallon. I have an Alpine that gives me a gallon of milk a day.
Okay.
And then I have some that their first year they've only given me 2 cups a day.
Mm-hmm. Quite a range.
It is. It's strange. And just because they're purebred or paper doesn't make them give you more or less milk. Because I have one I bought at an auction that gives me more milk than any of them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you'll keep learning more about that as you go along, because you're the kind of person who does learn from experience. Now, you mentioned that the soaps are scented. How do you do that, and what kind of scents do you use?
I use all kinds of things for scenting. I've used spices, regular spices that you would cook with. I use essential oils, which makes the soap 100% natural then. And then I use fragrance oils. Fragrance oils are part real and part synthetic, so basically that's the only chemicals that are in the soaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy them online at different places wherever I can find some good prices. Essential oils, of course, cost the most to use. But selling-wise, people don't really care about, some people do, but most people just smell my soaps and pick them out. So I would say the fragrance oil ones works the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, where I first saw your soap was at Produce in the Park at the Atlantic City Park. You've been there a couple Thursday nights. Hopefully you're going to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
And so where else could people find your soaps?
I also do the farmers markets on Tuesday evenings at the Orchlands parking lot. They also have it on Saturdays, but that interferes with milking time, so I don't make that one as often. There is a gallery in Macedonia called the Painted Camel. They have my soaps in there. There's another store. We had a health food store in town. They had them in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where else?
And then the Messina Market. Want to mention
the
Messina Market every other week.
Farmers Market is every other Thursday. Mm-hmm. I've been there a couple of times.
So if you want to meet Cindy and you want to see her soaps and smell her soaps, well, I guess top on the list close by would be one of the farmers markets, because most of the time you're going to be there, Cindy.
Yep, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah, and I know people have enjoyed seeing them and smelling them, and then you especially enjoy it when they like to take them home and buy some from you.
Well, it's good for your skin.
Okay.
I mean, there's no chemicals, and our skin really doesn't know what it's like to not have chemicals on them.
Okay.
And then once you start using the soaps, the difference is amazing.
And another advantage, of course, of coming to Farmers Market is they get to talk with you mm-hmm. and answer their questions and so on. So it's a great kind of thing to do. Well, yeah. We want to thank you very much, Cindy Workman, for visiting with us. And you have a business name?
Desiree Farm Soap.
Okay, Desiree Farm Soap. We want to thank you again for visiting with us, Cindy Workman. And until next time, here's the thought. When you put your troubles away with the sunset, you make room for blessings to fill the next day.